Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
It is 6 minutes past 7 o'clock, second hour today of Political Coffee. Stacey Ann's up next, again live, as she's back from Orlando, with Good Morning Salem at the 8 o'clock hour. So this hour, I want to talk with you a little bit more about our central theme of the day, because I really want to know what you think. I asked the question in the first hour, what direction do Oregon Republicans need to go? Do we need to go to the left and become more Democrat light? More moderate? Or even become more mainstream conservative than we already are? I also want to talk about how the Democrats, of course, are never satisfied. The left is never satisfied because now there are five freshman Oregon Democrats that have filed a bill to increase the minimum wage from $11.50 an hour to $17 an hour statewide, everywhere, including all them rural areas out there, which can't afford it any more than anybody else can. But that's so they're never satisfied. And if they get this passed, what's the next level? Well, you know what the next level is. This is death by a thousand cuts. They're never satisfied. They want you, the taxpayers, to pay them. They want us, the taxpayers, I should say, because I pay taxes in this state, to provide free income, a basic living income. And they're going to pay for it, of course, by taxing the rich. Yeah. You only do that once. You only confiscate most of the rich's money before they go move to another state. And they're rich. They can. They can move. It's never enough. So, should Republicans go along with that kind of thing? I mean, to, you know, because it's warm and fuzzy, right? Isn't it? It's warm and fuzzy. It makes people feel good that we're going to, I mean, only one out of every 15 jobs, according to this article by Mike Rogoway in the Oregonian, just one in 15 job pays the minimum wage. I think that's a success story, don't you? Ain't it great that only 1 in 15 pays the minimum wage? You see, in some other states, it's higher than that. I think it's great. That means most Oregonians are participating at a higher level. So why is this even necessary? Because it'll never be enough. What's the next level? $20 an hour? $25 an hour? Mandating that to business? How many jobs will that cost? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Let's get into the phones. We'll start first with Freddie, then move to Tim, and then to our next caller. Freddie, good morning. What do you say today?
Oh, good morning, Jeff. My thing is that the common voter, I'm talking about Republican and Democrat, are being hosed by the leadership. And I think what we need to do is tell the Democrats to say, look, you know, you're hurting, you're getting hurt by the gas prices going up based on your leadership. You're getting hurt that you can't go watch your kids go play football. You're getting hurt by these people that are telling both of us, both Republicans and Democrats, you can't do this. So collectively, the Republicans and the Democrat, and I'm talking about the voters, need to push back on the full leadership that's driving all of these policies and saying, stop hurting us. Because the Democrats want America first, too. And I'm talking about the voters. I'm talking about the common people living in this in the neighborhoods. We all want that. And I was talking to a lawyer yesterday who's a Democrat, and he refuses to wear a mask. And when he goes into the store, they tell him, put on a mask. He says, if you don't want my money, I'll leave. If you don't like me wearing a mask, call the police. I'm not going to wear a mask. And so the Democrats are fed up with this, and the Republicans are fed up with this, and collectively stop having an adversarial relationship between Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about the voters now, and saying, you people better get your act together because we're all Americans, and this is what we want. We want America first, and we want secure borders, and you're not going to give our money away. That's what we need to do.
So is that more liberal, conservative, or moderate, that approach?
It's being an American. I'm not going to label on any of that. I want America first. I'm tired of labels. I'm a combat veteran. I served with Democrats and Republicans, and we fought like hell. And I'm an American today voter, and I have Democrat friends, and I'm saying, screw this, the way this government is being run. I want America first and take care of what our people here and our children. I don't want people coming in here and taking my kids' job. So collectively, voters, Republicans and Democrats, need to push back on the leadership, both on the Republican and Democratic side. That's how we solve the problem.
Right.
It is our country, by the way.
Yeah, it is, and we had better remember that. In fact, a lot of people had better wake up to it and start getting active. It's a great point. Freddie, thank you. America first. I think that's a very commonsensical thing that appeals across ideological lines. And I think that story about the Democrat lawyer is a perfect one. And I think that cuts across the lines when we're talking about kids going back to school, parents having to take their football players to games, and they cannot watch the game, can't even stand at the fence. And the cops are going to keep them away from the fence, according to the report on KPNW about what's going to happen in Eugene. You better wake up, folks. This is your government. It is. You better stand up, because those kinds of things do cut across party lines. Most people don't like being forced to wear a mask. So how can we build on that and help persuade the persuadables? By the way, speaking of kids going back to school, apparently in Salem, let me understanding this correctly here, that apparently kindergartners go back to school today and first graders go back to school today. Second graders through fifth return tomorrow. So that means they're going to be on the streets, folks, around Salem and other places. So just be watching for kids, little kids, being out on the streets, because they haven't been for a long time. Let's slow down and make sure. All right, back to the phones, 503-589-1220. We have one line open, which means I got to keep talking to people fast and furious here. Tim, you're back.
I'm back. Let's talk about the minimum wage for a minute.
Yes.
We do not label correctly if you want to do that. Because when I testified before, if you want to persuade the persuadables are the silent majority. They're the baby boomers. They're the ones on fixed income. I'm too simple. I don't care about minimum wage. I care about the impact on fixed income. If you want to persuade the persuadable, get the fixed income people, the baby boomers, active, because they're the ones that are being hurt the most.
Well, I think they are, but how do they vote? Do they vote for people who, seriously, well, do they vote for people that raise their taxes and make it harder for them to live?
I don't think they're active. I would say that they do vote for the ones that impact them, but I don't think they're active. And I think they budget. And so I go for survival. I don't go by individual price. If gas is higher, I don't drive as much. If groceries are higher, I buy different things. I go for survival. So
if something happens, get
me involved.
So you manage it, and someone else would have to manage it also, but then doesn't that have a negative impact on the economy because you're having to make choices that you didn't have to make previously?
I don't know that it impacts them as far as how they vote. And the reason for that is maybe you're right. They go for individual as opposed to topic, or they don't care. because they don't think it's going to impact them personally, because they make their fixed income fit. And if it, you have, those are the persuadables that will make a difference. You have to get the silent majority involved, both financially, from activity standpoint, and who they purchase products from and support.
You're right about that, because if they're not involved and they're voting the wrong way, somebody needs to help convince them, or persuade them, rather, that they need to vote differently. In fact,
because it's going to affect the future of whether they can afford it, not
right
now.
Absolutely.
And as they get older and there's medical issues and there's where you're going to live issues and you're going to have a family member issues you have to support, then it's too late. Then
you
change your lifestyle.
I appreciate it. I need to move on to the next caller. Got a text message from Walt. Says, H-E double toothpick, Freddie. Love the energy and the passion. Yep, let's go to our next caller. Caller, who are you, and good morning? Okay, so that caller left. We'll move on to Rich. Rich, you're back, and then Gail.
Morning. Okay, here's what I got. The baby boomers, like Tim was talking about, the ones around me, they're going to vote Democrat no matter what. They haven't changed. They
Why?
Don't want to change.
Why?
They're not thinking about what's going on.
But why? I mean, if
I don't know.
Tim
I can't,
is saying...
I can't get that out of them when I talk
squeezed.
To my neighbors. It's just that's the way they are. A lot of them are retired idiots. I shouldn't say idiots, but non-reality people that have worked in the college system all their life. So they don't understand what the real world is like. The next thing is, if they want to start raising taxes, let's take out some of their sacred cows like, Nike... and maybe Amazon, and start actually having them pay for a change rather than getting special treatment. If they're that desperate for money, it's time for them to tell their sacred cows, you're going to have to pony up.
Do you think that'll happen?
No. But I'm just saying, if it's really...
You're right.
If they really think they need the money, it's time for them to... grow up and understand that their sacred cows are losing them billions of dollars a year and laughing at them behind their back.
So do you think you can communicate that concept to persuadable voters and it help move them?
I've tried. I've gotten a few of them that'll move here in my neighborhood, but they're pretty staunch, hardcore left because, like I said, most of them really, no offense intended, hadn't really worked for a living. They sat in a school district and as professors, and they see it differently because they've never had to produce. I mean, sorry.
You're so bad, Rich. Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll be back with Gail and Glenn and Art again and others of you. This is important. What should we do? How should Republicans in Oregon act? Should they become more moderate, more Democrat? Or more mainstream conservative? Or maybe just like Freddie says, just America first.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 7 o'clock. Great to have you with us. Before we go back to the phones, and the phones are pretty well lit up, 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to call in and comment. So I want to also thank Eric Azer and Righteous Renovations for being a man of honor in his company as a contractor you can trust, and you can see how well that plays out for some of his previous customers by just going to his website, righteousrenovations.com, and checking it out. All the great testimonials of satisfied customers, but some of the great before and after pictures. If you're looking for a contractor you can trust, Eric Azer and his team at Righteous Renovations, they're the people you need to talk to. RighteousRenovations.com. Check them out. All right, to the phones. Gail, good morning. You're up.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to ask you, who is your boss? That's a loaded question. I'll answer it for you.
who is my boss?
Our boss.
I'm no longer married, so it isn't a wife.
Okay.
And I didn't think you were going to say that, but that's my sense of humor coming into play. You tell me.
Okay. Our boss is our Lord in heaven. And so this past year, I've lived my life asking the Lord what I should do, and I got caught off guard once, last March or April, I can't remember, and I had to wear a mask when I went into LifeSource, and I said no more. That was the first and last time I wore a mask, because I asked that question. You know, Jesus doesn't wear a mask. He didn't make us to wear a mask. He didn't make us to take a vaccine. He didn't make us to social distance. And so the same goes for the Republican Party. We need to ask what our Lord would want. And, you know, make America great again by asking what the Lord wants. That's all I have to say, Jeff.
Well, that's a higher authority that we choose to answer to, those of us who believe in God, first of all, and that we are sincere about our relationship with Him, and that we are going to follow His will and His guidance and what Jesus would have us do. And I think back to my friend, Pastor Lou Wootan of the River Church. He doesn't wear a mask.
Amen.
And he won't. If he's kicked out of a place, he's kicked out of a place. And he'll just simply go somewhere else. And I admire that, and I think that's right. I don't wear a mask. The only time that I've had to was going to the hospital to see my father as he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the bank a couple of times because they will not let you go. I like to wear a shield on a ball cap because, to me, that's a very, very different thing. My face is still exposed. I can see people. I can interact with people. It is a lot healthier than wearing a mask. But I admire that. I think that's right. I think that's appropriate. I think it is a bit of civil disobedience and that we need to engage in it. Unfortunately, it also hurts some of the businesses that we love and that we do business with and that we want to do business with. Some of the great businesses of this radio station. Gail, thank you, and I appreciate it. Yeah, you're right. Let's go back to Art. Art, go. Hi, Art.
Hey, am I off?
You're up.
Okay, you got me off mute. most of it. Hey, Freddie, you're 100%. I mean, and that's constitutionally, that's how we need to do it. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all those good things. Agree with Freddie 100%. We need to, obviously, like I said, in my first segment, follow the Constitution, believe in people's rights, the free market system. We know that's what's made America great. And if we go past those things, just like look at Biden, he wants to open up the border again, and look at those four people that got killed yesterday because they had an SUV with 27 people in it. Instead of closing our borders, and so people died because the Democrats, aren't following the Constitution and all of those kind of things. So good job on that, Freddie. We need to do that. And we need to, this thing with 554, I'm glad to hear it's been postponed. Now we got a slam court D and say, don't bring this up for a vote. It's unconstitutional. Read the Second Amendment, Mr. Courtney. We have the right to keep and bear arms. You don't have the right to pass a law that's going to make it a felony for us to have our Second Amendment rights. So call up Courtney and say, just keep, put that bill under the table. Quit listening to Jenny Burdick. You know, just look at the city up there, what kind of shape it's in. We don't want the rest of Oregon to be like Portland is. So anyways, Jeff, I'm, you know.
Yep, no, you're right.
We got the fight.
We should be communicating to Peter Courtney.
For our Constitution, and that's what's made our country great. And Democrats can't deny that. They got to quit listening to those idiots.
Oh, no, no, no. They think that our Constitution is written by a bunch of racist white slave owners, that it isn't relevant, and that really we don't need it. In fact, there are Democrats that are saying that. Art, I'm going to let you go because we're almost at the bottom of the hour. Glenn, I'll get back to you in a moment here. But, I mean, the reality is, yes, our Constitution ought to mean something. But it doesn't. It doesn't to people who either will violate it or who get judges to say their unconstitutional actions are constitutional. It has no meaning if we, the people, don't stand up for it. Lots of emails to read and your phone calls at 7:30. I'll be back in a moment. More to talk.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. We're going to go back to the phones here in a moment, but I have been remiss in reading some very good emails. Rosalie sent me one about freshman congresswoman newly elected from Colorado, Lauren Boebert, explaining HR1 and how dangerous it is. It is a great piece. It is in, it's on the Blaze, and it's entitled, If I Were a Democrat, I'd Change the Rules. And it is stunning. You should read it. I will put it on the show plan. Thank you, Rosalie. Corby writes, Research Agenda 21. It's laid out perfectly. Separate parents from their children. Lee writes about the minimum wage. If you missed that earlier, yes, Democrats in Oregon are proposing a $17 an hour minimum wage because it's never enough. What's next? 20? 25? Lee writes, minimum wage, lies, lies, lies. Toss out the dictionary. Burn every reference to Noah Webster. Minimum, he writes, as a dictionary definition, the least or smallest amount or quantity possible, attainable, or required. It's the starting point. When hard work, learning, and application, the employee earns a higher wage as they become more vital to the success of the business. When there's enough profit to pay the increase. The Democrats continue to state a living wage as a minimum. This is just a tactic to keep the people uneducated, unmotivated, and relying on a system that only benefits the few. The only math equation that supports a living wage is the funny Common Core math, written with K's, Common Core. My parents and grandfathers knew that you can't spend more than you make, and workers are motivated by rewarding their efforts. Yeah, and by the way, all that new math, of course, is racist. Jeff writes from his iPhone, is a hike in the minimum wage really a tax increase? Well, of course it is. And it's a tax increase on us, the people. Dale writes about, when everyone calls Senator Courtney about Senate Bill 554, tell him we will be removing his name off of the Minto Brown Island Bridge if he brings the bill up for a vote. Oh, that's good, Dale. Very good. By the way, I just checked the legislative website. In fact, let me update it right now. Senate Bill 554 has not been read a second time. Now, today's the first floor session of the week for the Senate. Convenes at 11 o'clock. It is not scheduled for a second reading, which means it can't be voted on until it's read the third and final time. So there's a day or two going on here. We'll see if, I mean, this is a great suggestion. If you're going to call Courtney today. And I do like that idea. Say, you know what? If you don't just kill this thing or send it back to committee, we're going to take your name off the Minto Island Bridge. That's really got to hurt him. I mean, you know, after all, he wants his legacy to be Courtney, everything named after Courtney. Kind of like Robert Byrd in West Virginia, right? Well, let's go back to the phones. Go to Glenn, and then we'll go to Kathy. Glenn, good morning. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I think a lot of the baby boomers, they're going to get priced out of their homes. The values of the homes are becoming more valuable than the revenue coming in to support them. So they're best to, a lot of them are already starting to sell them and make a change. But also my thing is that there's a standard joke about government. It's kind of interesting because I wonder where the federal government and the state of Oregon government is in this standard joke. Real quickly, in socialism, you have two cows and you give one to your neighbor. In communism, you have two cows and the government takes both and gives you the milk. In fascism, the milk goes to the government and then they sell it back to you. In Nazism, the government shoots you and takes the cows. In the New Deal, the government shoots one cow, milks the other, and then pours the milk down the sink. In a genuine democracy, you sell one cow and buy a bull. I think there's a lot of truth in that about how our governments are working. Most of it doesn't make good sense. If people just did what they normally would do with their farms and their livelihoods, government is nothing but tripping it all up for all of us with all these schemes. They're all schemes, technically. Everything happening in the state capital and the federal capital are schemes of one of these lights.
Well, you're right about that. They are schemes, and there's always an agenda behind them. What you've just described is really how socialism kind of works. So that being the case, do you think that Republicans should try to communicate that kind of simplistic example message to help wake people up, to get the persuadables to start thinking and voting differently?
Well, it's definitely a start. If you make it so, the simplicity of it is what's so unique. It really stands out as a simple method to look at how these governments are treating their people with merchandise and with the way they make their living. As funny as it sounds, it's very much reality. And people can understand how their lives are being stolen away from them by the commodities that are being shuck and jived in the federal government and in the state government.
Yeah, and I think we the people are awakened to that. And what we have to do and what our role is to help educate other people. Thanks, Glenn. I mean, it's a good analogy. It's a great way of of teaching someone, even a high schooler or just frankly somebody who's maybe like one of Rich's neighbors that is going to vote Democrat no matter what because they've just lost it. You know, an irrational thought, maybe someone around them that is persuadable that you could literally use those kinds of examples to be persuasive. Because socialism has, well, it has a cost. Somebody's got to pay for it. That's what Margaret Thatcher said, right? So powerfully in the 80s. Problem with socialism, sooner or later you run out of other people's money. We just cannot manufacture money at the state level. Sam writes an email about the show, and it's a bit of a long one, and I'm going to take Kathy's call first before I read it to you, because I think it's a very good email, and it encapsulates kind of putting an end or say a cherry on top of the sundae that is actually this topic today. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, good morning. How are you?
First thing I wanted to say was last week you had somebody call that was talking about when your back's against the wall and you've done all the fighting you can, just trust God to work this out. And so I did that. And I could feel my blood pressure go down physically. And the other thing is about squishy, should we be more squishy? Well, I think the current leadership of the Republican Party in Oregon is squishy enough. They haven't won an election in I don't know how many years. And I think some of them need to be replaced.
Well,
and the
yes.
15 an hour job, whatever. If they insist on it, then it needs to be on a sliding scale for people that can afford it, like Amazon. If they want to pay their people exorbitant rates or whatever, way above their pay grade, then let them. But it's hurting people that have a consignment shop in downtown Salem. How are they going to expand or grow, or even people starting a business? And one more thing, I heard somebody talking about, yesterday I was listening to a show by Eric Metaxas, and he was talking to a guy that got, and I know this is an old story, but it's a seriously important story, about Hunter's laptop. It wasn't just filled with porno. Yes, it was. It was filled with it. But there were some emails with China connections that would scare the daylights out of people if they heard them. And if you go to Eric Metaxas' website and listen to it, you won't be wasting your time. It's chilling and important.
No, well, thank you, Kathy. I will. I'm. That doesn't surprise me. The question is, does anybody care? We ought to.
Well,
we truly ought to.
If you heard that interview, I think a lot of people would care.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. I've got a text from. In fact, we're running out of time here. I'll get to that on the other side of the break, and a couple of great emails, one from Sam and another from a referee, a local sports referee official about masks. Back in a moment. No, that's not poverty. As they march through town to the riverside, they baptize believers in this celebration of it. Stop the car. We got.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Ten minutes till the top of the hour. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem. You can continue the conversations with her. Rebecca, you are dropping in and out, apparently. It's what producer Phil is saying. So you're going to have to get a better line. You know, last night I took some CBD from just before I went to bed to help me sleep, and I just slept fantastically. And that's Pro Biosciences product. You know, they're based in Salem here, and they use only Oregon-grown CBD, which is of the very highest quality that there is. And so, at any rate, I think that if you are looking to, well, just make your life better, feel better physically, you should try CBD products. But they're not all the same. And that's really true. The pain stick that Pro Bioscience makes that you hear me rave about is just fantastic. I've never used anything like it. But a lot of their other products are very good also. And even now they have some beauty project products for primarily for ladies. I haven't used them. But at any rate, they have bath salts and they have a night cream. It's all infused with CBD. So why don't you consider using an all-natural way to make your health better in many ways? You can do that if you go to Pro Bioscience. Go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. Pro-bioscience.com. And put in the discount code if you buy anything online for the month of March, the word change, because that's what's happening, kind of a change of seasons, change. And you'll get 15% off. Pro-bioscience.com. Buy CBD to make your life better and buy it with confidence. Sam writes an email. He says, more conservative, please. Says, I've only lived in Oregon 16 years now, and since moving here, the Republican Party has been moderate, in my opinion, and the Democratic Party has pretty much been in control for most of this time. It seems like the moderate Republicans haven't really been effective in upholding our rights or standing against the Democratic overreach or supporting more conservative Republicans. What do we have to lose by finding and supporting conservative constitutional candidates who have some morals and conscience? Being in the mushy middle has generated the government we are now experiencing. My hope is that Oregon Republican Party moves more constitutionally conservative. We don't have anything to lose by going in that direction. Thank you, Sam, and you're right on. We need to be more constitutionally conservative. And to do that, we have to communicate the constitutional principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that we have certain rights that come from God, not man or government. And that sort of gets back to Freddie's point about the very broad idea, instead of the labels, moderate, conservative, Democrat, liberal, whatever, that we talk about America first, our constitutional rights first. And we use the examples of things that are going on today, like this insanity about parents having to take their kids to football games now, but can't watch the game. Yet they can leave that game while their kid is playing that game and then go sit in their car, which is a closed, confined space, or they can go to a Costco or some other place that's in a confined space with other people, but they can't be outside. The absurdity of it. In fact, a referee whose name I will not say says this: I'm a local football official. We're getting back on the field with these
draconian rules. We have to enforce the mask wearing while on the field. We do not penalize the team, but we send them off for one play until they put it on properly. The sideline is enforced by the coaches. We officials have to wear a mask as well, or we cannot officiate. I have already experienced the mask wearing while running and blowing a whistle. It is difficult at best. The mask gets soggy, and it's hard to breathe, much less trying to blow a whistle. I am doing this, as are many others, to at least help players play. We do not like the mask wearing rule, but for the kids, we will. Football fields have plenty of space for social distancing, and I do understand keeping parents out. He said, rather, I do not understand keeping parents out. Kids, as you know, like to make their parents proud, and this is sad. Most schools have a system that live feeds it to the parents at home. If my son were still playing, I would find a way to watch regardless. On the minimum wage, it's a socialist ideology. It won't work because everything, eventually you run out of other people's money. So that is from a local school official who is choosing to do something that may not actually, in all sincerity, may not be good for their health. And that's to wear a mask while they're running up and down a field officiating. I mean, it's, first of all, thank you for doing that to all of you who are choosing to do that. I mean, that's, my hat's off to you. Good for you. I want to close the show today with something I talked about in the beginning that I just didn't get to. And it's yesterday on Rush's show, his wife Catherine was on there and talked about the private ceremony they had in burying Rush in Missouri. And a couple of things stood out to me that I thought were just profound. Is the actual conversation that they played. And by the way, if you go to rushlimbaugh.com, you can literally read the transcript of the audio that they played of Rush and Catherine talking about a month ago. I think she said something like that, or maybe last year. Anyway, about his funeral and the event. And it was stunning to hear him just be Rush and to talk about it in kind of an exciting way. And you know what came through to me is something that she said later, because she was on the show yesterday for a couple of hours. What came through to me was that Rush was completely at peace with himself and with God. And it was powerful. It was powerful to know. Look, I think anyone who is faced with death wants to be at that place, should be at that place. My own father was when he passed away this last year. And it was my privilege to spend some time with him before he did. So I'm very comforted by what I heard yesterday. In fact, you can go see some great pictures, including a Marine standing at attention at Rush's flag drape. Oh, it was pretty cool. Thanks for joining us today, folks. I deeply appreciate each and every one of you being a part of this show and this audience. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep praying for this nation. Be determined to do whatever you can to save our great country.